Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together on this Wednesday, November 19th, 2014. I don't know, Jason, are we freshly back from the Holy Land? Can you still say freshly? I don't know.
I don't know if I'm freshly back. I'm back. How about that?
Well, I felt like our last half hour or so was very similar to what went on most nights when we were in the Holy Land, our debriefing, our summarizing an overview of what we saw God do throughout the day or the evening, assessing the growth and the development of the trip, sharing different God sightings, kind of recounting, okay, what should we do tomorrow? Let's switch and flip and change itineraries. And so we were just recapping once again some of the unique things God did, the ways we saw him at work. And I was thinking, and you had mentioned this before, how can we include our listeners in this program? Because it's like when somebody goes somewhere and they weren't there. And so you and I have talked about that. So before we maybe highlight some of the unique things that were our takeaways, I want to publicly state, because I know how much energy and effort and prayer and participation you put in prior to the trip, during the trip, even afterwards. I know this booklet that I have in front of me that you put together over hours of research and, you know, grabbing different things from different sites and postings and, oh, I don't know, you have maps and illustrations to pre-trip gatherings, to the Israel night, to serving on the trip with devotional thoughts most of the mornings, concluding the evenings with a devotional time and an assessment of the day or a recap, to teaching on sites, to shepherding the group all along. So thank you for the gifts that God has instilled in you to have the wherewithal and the strength and the determination. Because, I don't know, I think I used the word once, the complexities of this trip.
Yeah.
All the different things that we had to deal with when you have a group of 20 from different life experiences and backgrounds, along with all the other hidden variables that would happen with itinerary changes or days that, hey, we have to flip-flop this, to having a new guide, to all the different things that go into such a trip as this and all the planning that you lay forth and then you have to alter. But thank you for using your gifts, and I know the group benefited greatly.
Good. I'm appreciative. I mean, I thought it was good. Anytime you can... for me, at least, I mean, you can teach like that, and anytime we can pull people away from, I think we talked about it in the Garden Tomb, pull people away from their daily kind of schedule and being dominated by the things that have to be done, you know, being human doings instead of human beings. And I think that, you know, we've talked about it many times. It's not that you have to go to Israel to find God, but sometimes you need to go to Israel to get away from all the stuff that keeps you from seeing and hearing God. Mm-hmm. And really, that's so true. I mean, even for myself, I mean, you go over there and I hear God in a different way, and it's not because God is different in Israel. It's because I'm different in Israel, because I can't answer emails and text messages the same. I'm not going, okay, I have to be here, and then I have to be here, and I have to be here, and I have to do some counseling over here, and I have to write a sermon for this, and I have to do all this. I mean, I can just be focused on being attentive to what God might say and what God might do. I mean, and you said there were complexities, and when you're moving people and you're trying to deal with lots of different kinds of personalities from different backgrounds, different church backgrounds, and all those kinds of things, and we're trying to gel a group to see that, look, it's not that you're Baptist, and it's not that you're Methodist, and it's not that you're Assemblies of God, it's not that you're all these things, it's that we're all here on a pilgrimage moving towards a deeper relationship with Christ. And so really helping to have some of that stuff fall away so that we can all be in the same space, in the same place, because there's nothing more powerful, and now this is, what, third trip, nothing more powerful than when a group kind of has a communal aha. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that when we look at it, we would say, like, our time in the Garden Tomb, and I'm sure we'll talk about that and those, but there were some real communal aha moments where the whole group just kind of goes, like, it's kind of a corporate exhale, like, the Lord just did something. And so, yeah, you know what I told you, I think, before the program, I love it because I feel like I come back a better teacher. God sharpens me in a certain way, and because he's spoken to me in a certain way. And I'm just blessed by all the different folks who are on the trip and the ability to teach them and hear their feedback. I mean, I love when Isaiah says, come, let us reason together. And I think there were so many places on the trip where we reasoned together and we learned more about ourselves and learned a lot more about God.
I didn't think about Facebook posting all the different images, the photographs that I took on the Great News Radio website. But if you do friend myself or Jason, there are a lot of photographs kind of recapping the various sites that we saw. Sometimes there's little descriptions or what happened or the group setting. But if you Facebook Mark Burns or Jason Schiffo, I think you'll capture some of the great photographs. I mean, these camera phones are phenomenal. It's just unbelievable what can be recorded and then posted right away. So we had free wireless internet on the bus that worked most of the time. I know a lot of us were competing for that bandwidth, but...
Well, somebody was, like, downloading videos and stuff. I don't know who that was.
But thank you, God. Thank you, listener, for your prayers and participation. We did deliver a $5,100 check to Larry Rich and Ha Emek Medical Center, for which he was very appreciative. He already sent a notice of where it's going and helping
it's
children.
It's going to Ha Emek Kids. Isn't that the educational arm? So long-term, when Arab, Palestinian, Jewish, Druish, those kids are in there for long stretches of time. It provides tutors and things like that, correct?
Yeah, and they're going to put our name on some kind of ventilator that helps newborns or something stay alive.
Great.
So a portion of it's going towards that, along with that center.
Hopefully when they're hooking the kid up to the ventilator, it doesn't play "We're Glad You're Here." So, that would be awkward. Yeah, but we dropped that check off, and that was great. And my gosh, we look at this itinerary and we look at the booklet and we think, what story do you tell? I mean, what do you share? But I think that one that really early on in the trip was really powerful is that, and jump in so we can try and see if together we'll remember 90% of the details. But really, we got there and it was hot when we first got there. It was like 80-something degrees in Tel Aviv. And the air conditioning just didn't seem to want to work. The bus driver, we'd watch him because Mark and I were kind of in the front seats getting to know the guy and that, but he would keep pressing the button and it would get cold for about 30 seconds and then it would heat back up. And then there was even one point where it was just blowing out heat. And you were actually happy to get off the bus and into the sun because it was hot. But there was just a problem on that first day. And people were tired. They were jet lagged. They were, you know, the first day there is like a double day because you're up and you try and sleep on the plane, but you really can't. And then you get there and it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And so it's like you got a whole nother day and you're in unfamiliar place. Just a lot of things were against you. So the bus being hot was like an extra frustration. And the bus driver was just really attentive to try and fix it. In fact, we got to the hotel that night on the first day, and he stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning trying to fix it. The next day, he thought he had it fixed, but it still was not. But it was a little better. He could hit the button. But I think on our way to Dan, it got pretty hot in the bus. In fact, we were even joking that this was kind of the can we say hell? We can say hell.
Bus ride from Hades.
Yeah, bus ride from Hades. It was like the Hades pilgrimage because
what we started saying about
I don't know, but the front half of the bus was getting the joke and we were all laughing.
We were getting giddy.
Yeah, but the back half couldn't hear us, so I think that they were trying to process that and they couldn't understand. I think it was more, but there was somebody on the bus who at the moment, I think it was Mary Bull from Texas, and she said, would Jesus complain about it being this hot?
Yeah.
Would he really complain? I mean, come on. And it was kind of centered everybody a little bit. But we went to Dan, and at Dan...
And that's way northern part of the country.
Way northern by the Golan Heights. And Dan was a good place to go because Dan tends to be a little cooler. And so it was a good place to go. I mean, the air conditioning didn't have to work as much. But also we were meeting somebody there. And so really fascinating, we had...
meeting somebody there to work on the bus.
To work on the bus. But we had... Matt Linsner was on the trip, who owns Mattek's heating and air conditioning company. So at one point during our ride towards Dan, he got up and he said, hey, can we look at the wiring? Because I saw you unplug one thing and plug it back in, and it worked a little better. And so by Matt being there, divine, you know, I'm providence, not happenstance. So it just so happened that Matt was there, and he had kind of pointed something out that led to it being fixed. But when we got off the bus at Dan, and this was prior to the guy meeting up and being able to fix the air conditioning, when we got there, the bus driver, who was Jewish, got off the bus and he grabbed a hold of me. And
his name's Eliko.
Eliko. He grabbed a hold of me and he said, will you pray for me? And I said, what? And he grabbed Mark, too, and he pulled us both, and publicly in front of the group, in front of the guide, in front of other Israelis who were there at the stop in Dan, had us pray for him.
And initially, when he was waving you over...
Oh, I thought I was in trouble.
Right. We were not anticipating, because this is very unlike any bus driver I've ever had, and this being my 27th trip, I'm familiar with many different bus drivers, and for him in the public... put his arms around our shoulder and say, will you two pray? We were like, Wow, God.
Yeah, and I mean, and he was Jewish. He said that, you know, shalom, you know. But at the end, he was so appreciative that we prayed for him. And then when we all came back from Dan after the person had come and fixed the bus, it worked because Matt was able to say, hey, I think it's the wiring. So they knew that there was a problem with the wire. It ended up being two wires were touching. But through Matt being there, through our prayers, we got to kind of come back and go, look at how God was at work. And there was even points after that in the morning when you would be on the bus and you would pray. At the end of your prayer, we'd hear from the front driver's seat, amen.
Yeah.
And so it was like this amazing moment, because you said you've been on so many trips, you've never seen that happen.
No. And it was just interesting, again, how you always pray that the fragrance of Christ in us would be evident to all. And I don't believe Aliko was a believer or follower of Jesus for that matter, but he knew we were, and he saw God at work, I believe, in and through us, and he embraced that, and we don't know what kind of seeds we were planting, but we always asked God as he ordered our steps each and every day that we would be that fragrance of Christ, that it would be evident to all that we are positive followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as you go to Israel and you see many people from all over the world and many denominations represented, or many, what would you say, when you have like Greek Orthodox and Roman Catholic and Armenian,
denominations, sects, layers, flavors.
And sometimes they're not always that positive, because I know many Jewish people and they're like, what's with this? Or why are they so angry or mean-spirited or whatever? But we were very intentional on, you know, Lord, work in and through us. Help us model you in a positive, loving way. And it seems like Aliko really grasped that and befriended us in a way that's unlike many of the other drivers. They're all proficient and good and professional. But he had many good conversations with us and loved on us and was phenomenal. But for him to do that publicly, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, we arrived at the hotel after one day of, you know, towards the end of the trip, the latter 25% of the trip, and he pulled me aside and he said, your teachings are good. And that was interesting to me, because that means he was listening. I mean, he didn't have to puff me up. There's nothing that he had to do for any of that. And yet he did that purposefully. And so that was interesting. It just showed me he was listening to some of those teachings. He was actually trying to engage. So it was good. It was interesting. There were so many interesting things that happened on the trip, and so many things that were just so. I was telling Tasha, I said, you know, and I keep, it's the whole processing part where I'm just sitting at the table, and also I'm like, oh wait, I didn't tell you this. You know, I forget to tell her things. And so I was telling her this morning about when we were at Dominus Flavius, and which is the teardrop church.
I wrote that down. I was going to see where you were bald.
Yeah, we're at Dominus Flavius, and Dominus Flavius looks right across at the Eastern Gate and at the Dome of the Rock. And so it's a great place to teach on Genesis chapter 22, which is the Dome of the Rock is built right over the rock, or the top of the Mount Moriah, where God proclaimed first in the love in Genesis 22, his take your son whom you love. First declaration of love in the Bible. And so I was given a teaching at Genesis 22, and there was a large group that came in. You know, I was like right there, because I'm given Genesis 22, but Genesis 22 is a picture of the gospel. You know, Isaac trains us for a miraculous birth and trains us to wait on the Lord. And there's so much that it does. And I think I was like at this part where it's like, you know, Isaac didn't have to suffer, but Jesus suffered for us. You know, and there's this amazing part in that whole narrative where it says, Father, I see, you know, Isaac speaking to Abraham. He says, Father, I see the knife and I see the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb? And he says, God will provide for himself the lamb. And what's interesting is God, in that passage, doesn't provide a lamb. He provides a ram, but he will provide for himself a lamb. So as you can see, even by that, I'm setting up the gospel. And there was this guide who's like from another group who in the back, he goes, you could teach this. You could talk about this anywhere. We need to be next. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, I'm in the middle of giving the gospel. Be quiet. It was kind of not necessarily my character totally.
Yeah, it was a defining moment, but you continued to proclaim it. And as a result, wasn't there a Spanish group or something?
It was Koreans that were in his group, and they came up to me. And so I don't know if it was a more secular group, because they came up and they said, wait, that has to do with the gospel? I mean, they didn't understand. So however the narrative that they were being shown or taught as they went through their trip, they weren't being given the idea that this is intimate. All these places that we're at are connection points to what God's going to do through the gospel, because that's what from the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 all the way until Matthew chapter 1:1 is the story about God working towards redemption in Christ. And so, yeah, it was interesting. The Koreans are like, they're asking me questions, and so I'm able to respond. And I almost thought it was funny because the guide who had called me out and who I had kind of said, hey, I'm not done giving the gospel yet, he was kind of giving me this sideways look because his people were now asking me questions. So I was hoping we could go from 20 to like 27 or something in like one fell swoop. We'll pick up some Korean folk, but it didn't happen. But that, yeah, that was very out of character. It was a place where God just told me that you're proclaiming the gospel and you have to stand your ground here. And there'll be and I think we saw it in a number of different ways on the trip. And it's not only this trip, but a lot of trips. When you're in the midst of God doing something, there is always something that tries to pull us away. I mean, how many times have we had a great devotional time? Maybe not even one that I gave, but one that just anybody's given. And there's like this great kind of thick silence afterwards where we're all just kind of marinating in what God has just done, and all of a sudden a bird lands or somebody slams something or something happens. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen that happen. And so it wasn't shocking that, you know, the enemy's like, stop giving the gospel.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
else is that? Oh, whoa.
Well, when you
what else is on your sheet?
Well, I
does
put
this thing work anymore?
Hey,
what time is it?
Send that to Alico. He wanted to buy our microphones.
Yeah, we'll send him that microphone.
Well, I put down parables, but that was kind of your Sunday message.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Well, let's not talk
about
that.
How oftentimes the gospel is relayed in all the parables that Jesus talked on. And I just thought about here, you were proclaiming the good news message of Jesus. And what's unique when you're on a trip to Israel is when you're pointing out the biblical narrative, you're on location. So you can, you know, when we're on the Mount of Beatitudes and our group read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, when somebody reads the portion, look at the birds of the air and you see a flock flying over, or look at the city on a hill and it's nighttime and you can see miles and miles away a little flickering light. And how oftentimes Jesus used the word pictures, something that he could point to or reference, you know, the lilies of the field, and you would be on the mountainside and there would be many lilies. And so over and over again, it was kind of neat. But you had talked about how all the parables are filled with gospel accounts.
Yeah, we should talk about that sometime, but now it's not a good time because you'll get me all fired up and that'll be a whole program plus. But I like what you said there, because I think that it's something that people need to understand. And it's something that I experienced on most trips, but this one was a very profound experience. Now, I preface this by saying that when we've gone on the past trips, I've kind of been course correcting as we go through, so teaching as we go through. Whereas here in this trip, I really did a lot of pre-outlining and thinking about trying to be very intentional with coming with all the teaching and then, you know, making some little course corrections in there. And there were some things we didn't use, and there were some things that I wrote new for the devotional times and that, maybe in the hotel room as God was speaking to me. But it's always happened, but this time was, I think, a little bit more prevalent or a little bit more powerful for me, as we were at the Southern Steps. And the Southern Steps are genuinely somewhere we know that Jesus walked on these steps. Now, we can't say he walked on this pathway on these steps because the steps were long, but we know that he went through the gate to go into under Solomon's portico and then out into the open area into the temple. We know that he did that. And so we know he would have entered in through this gate, so we know he would have. And you sit right there on the steps near where that gate is at, so you can without a doubt say somewhere on these steps Jesus walked. Now, let's just be honest and let's understand something. Just because Jesus walked on the steps doesn't make him holy. Okay, like it's not like we can rub ourselves on the steps and we become more holy. I get cleansed of my sin because I sat on the step that possibly Jesus sat on. But what it does mean is that our Lord put his feet here. And I just felt like I was reading out of Luke chapter 2 and the presentation of the temple, because that's what happens there. You know, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple. They come on those steps. Now, Jesus as an adult would have gone on those steps, but he also would have been there as a baby. And Simon comes and takes Jesus from the arms of Mary and Joseph, and he proclaims to the Lord, I've been waiting on this, and this is the fulfillment of prophecy, fulfillment of what your Holy Spirit's been speaking to me. And so I was reading that narrative and just kind of talking about that narrative, and I came to a point where I just felt so insignificant, like I had nothing more I could say. Like I was just like, Jesus was here. Like I can't add anything. I can't. I mean, if that sentence, Jesus was here, is not enough for you. Like, if you're going like, yeah, and what is the Greek and the Hebrew and what are the syntax and the pronouns, and I mean, I don't have anything for you. I mean, I think even in that, I think I probably repeated it like a silly person like five times. It was like, Jesus was here, because I felt so insignificant. There was nothing more I could say in that moment because he was there and you're sitting there. And how powerful is that? This is a place. I mean, in all the Israel, when you walk around and things, there's some, this is disputed if this was this, or this is tradition if this was this, and we're not really quite sure exactly how this works out, and we believe based on archaeology this could possibly be the site of. There are a few places we go and we know without a doubt. I mean, we know because the narrative of the Bible tells us that Jesus went in through this gate to go on to the Temple Mount. And so, yeah, I just felt so, I think in that moment, just insignificant. Just like, oh, there's nothing I can bring here. There's nothing I can teach here. There's nothing I can lay before these people that is going to help them to grow if they can't be overwhelmed. I mean, if the fact that Jesus was right here and it's indisputable, if that doesn't take your breath away, then there's nothing I can offer you that's going to do that.
What was the passage out of the Old Testament where, is God not enough, too? That was another prevalent kind of theme.
Yeah, that was in Numbers chapter 16 I believe it's Numbers chapter 16 in the rebellion of Korah.
And while you look that up, we'll leave the Garden Tomb experience for the Friday edition.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Friday. Yeah, it was Korah's rebellion when Moses and Aaron kind of intercede in between this rebellion of these Levites, and he says, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it too small a thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation and to minister to him?" He's like, is it not enough that God called you and gave you his word and he's given you this appointed time to do this thing? Isn't that enough? I mean, and if it's not enough, then you have to go to the desert, and you have to get a little bit of that extra junk cleaved off, because it's enough. He's enough. I think in one of the teachings in our devotional time, we just talked about the fact that Christ is better. And if he's not better, if you can't say that, if as things are trying to overwhelm you in the world, you can't say, this stinks, but Jesus is better. If you can't say that, then you need to kind of take some time and meditate and marinate on the goodness of God, because he is better. He is better.
And I'm thinking for you, the listener today, if you're tuned in and you're maybe aggravated because you have to go to work and you don't like your boss, or there's a situation that you've been praying about and it hasn't been answered according to your plan or purposes, or you're just frustrated over something, or your expectations aren't being met, whatever it is, the bottom line, and I've taken that to heart many times since you spoke it like some weeks ago and then reaffirmed it on the trip, is God or is he not enough? Period. And God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, our answer has to be, you know, really, Lord, you are all sufficient. And forgive me for my times of being either self-centered or captivated by the world or engrossed in things that are less than you, because Lord Jesus, you are enough. And so may we all take that to heart today and process that and think about that. Maybe if you're finding yourself being grumpy or complaining or criticizing others or measuring yourself to somebody else, maybe look inside and say, have you made the Lord your all in all? Is he enough?
Yeah.
Well, friends, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our little recap from our recent 10-day tour to the Holy Land. We're back, and we're thankful that God gave us this great privilege and opportunity to travel as a group of 20, to see him at work, to experience his land, his people, the biblical narrative coming alive. And I'm sure on Friday, tune in, because we'll continue our study through the book of Acts, but we'll talk a little about the Garden Tomb experience that I believe God wants us all to have on a daily basis. So we'll unfold that thought and concept on Friday. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.